then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. This is a favorite biblical quote amongst all tax collectors in the IRS. Back in 1999, there was a short made-for-television series called, in very short title, Jesus. And Gary Oldman played the part of Pontius Pilate. And he heard about this upstart amongst the Jews and how that this Jew named Jesus said, pay unto Caesar what is Caesar. And Pilate says, I like this Jesus. He's telling the Jews what to do. You know, as Christians, we live in two worlds. The kingdom of man, and the kingdom of God. You can only live in one kingdom, and you can only build one kingdom. Let us go back to the beginning of our own Christian lives. It began with, of course, baptism. All right, I got sister and sister watching you, okay? Let's see if you paid attention. You are baptized into Christ's threefold office as... all right. Sisters, start taking notes. They got to go back to remedial training. Priest, prophet, and king. Exactly. You are baptized into Christ's threefold office in priest, prophet, and king. Did you know you're all priests? Yeah. The priesthood of the baptized. You participate. You exercise your priestly office by participating in the celebration of the Mass, by offering the perfect sacrifice of the Son to the Father. That's why the Mass is not a spectator activity. Oh, don't ever say, Father, I never get anything out of the Mass. Oh, we're going to have a very long discussion. You are the priest. I am the ministerial priest, uniquely configured to Christ in the sacrament of holy orders. And together we offer the perfect sacrifice to the Father. That's why in the current translation of the Roman Missal, it is proper, pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. And did you know? The ministerial priest never says the A word. Did you know that? Whenever you look in the sacrament, or in the Roman Missal, the rubric, that little instruction read, always says, the people reply. The people reply. Oh, come on. The people reply. Amen. Okay. That's your parts. I offer the prayers on your behalf to the Heavenly Father, and you affirm that reality by saying, Amen. You are a prophetic people. You have to proclaim the gospel, and in the words of St. Francis, use words if necessary. Jesus said, go out to all nations. After his resurrection, he appeared to his disciples and said to them, go out to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them all that I have commanded you. That's why my favorite parting is go and announce the gospel of the Lord. You have to live your prophetic office. Offer the perfect sacrifice. Go out and proclaim. And then finally, your kingly office. Build the kingdom. Build God's kingdom and not man's. How do I do that? Well, you're going to have that opportunity in a few weeks. Amy Barrett is in front of the Senate Justice Committee. I watched a couple of the questioning sessions. She's a devout Catholic, big family, manages being a judge and raising her children and living her faith. And now she's being considered for an appointment to the Supreme Court of the United States. How is she going to build the kingdom? If she was to say to the Senate committee that she will use the teachings of Jesus Christ to influence her decisions, thank you very much, don't call us, we'll call you next. This is a smart woman. Very, very smart woman. You know, the camera goes back and forth between the senator asking questions and Judge Barrett. And you look at, you know, and when the camera's on the senator, they got a big pad of paper, notebooks, they're going back and forth. It goes back to Judge Barrett. She's got a bottle of water and a Starbucks cup and nothing else in front of her. Everything off the top of her head. Like that, she's sharp. Very, very smart woman. How is she going to live her Christian life and build the kingdom? Not to drop any names, but I was at one of my assignments in Washington, D.C. I was at a very affluent parish. I kid you not, the parishioners included Laura Ingraham, Brett Baer, Katie Ledecky, Antonin Scalia would show up every once in a while, and John Roberts. It's kind of an easy parish, you know. It's kind of hard to proclaim, and when you look out there, and all of a sudden the Chief Justice of the United States is looking right back at you. I had the opportunity, because he was a member of our parish, we got a kind of behind-the-scenes tour of the Supreme Court, and then Chief Justice came in, and the eighth graders asked questions, you know, of the Chief Justice, and a smart group of kids. They know him because they've seen him in church. They asked him, how can you be a judge and be Catholic? And to my disappointment is that when he puts on his robes and enters the courtroom, he leaves everything else behind and only uses the law of the land to influence his decisions. How do you balance the kingdom of man versus the kingdom of God? You do not take off your Christianity when it does not suit a circumstances. Sorry, Mr. Chief Justice, that's a weak answer. Baptism is an indelible mark on our soul that can never be removed. Same with confirmation. Same with holy orders. That indelible mark remains. It's even written in canon law that if a man becomes laicized, after being a priest and becomes laicized, he can still hear confessions in an emergency because he is still a priest. That never changes. That indelible mark on your soul, you are always a Christian. No matter what you do for the rest of your life, you are forever marked. When building the kingdom of man, to whom are we answerable? When building the kingdom of God, all of us will stand before that Chief Justice. His name is Jesus Christ. Our Christianity, the exercise of our kingly office, to manifest Christ's presence in our lives, in all that we do, and the world around us. It's not something we do behind closed doors. Kind of befitting that, you know, in this time of COVID, our doors are wide open. You know, anybody out there listening? This is good stuff. Come on in. They're not coming in, so guess what? You got to go out. To ignore that responsibility is to ignore Jesus and his commission to baptize and to teach. It has to imbue our very existence and thus influence our lives. What about us? What do we do? From the Catholic Conference of Ohio, in making these decisions, it is essential for Catholics to be guided by a well-formed conscience that recognizes all issues do not carry the same moral weights, and that the moral obligation to oppose policies promoting intrinsically evil acts has a special claim in our conscience and our actions. These decisions should take into account a candidate's commitments, character, integrity, and ability to influence a given issue. In this end, this is the decision to be made by each Catholic, guided by a conscience formed by Catholic moral teaching. This is something you need to pray about. Bottom line, I only tell the truth, okay? Bottom line, we cannot support intrinsically evil actions that are in opposition to the dignity of human life. Abortion, euthanasia, the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman, and the list can go on and on and on, but we don't have that much time. Supporting these actions or those that promote them, we become culpable in their sins. That's why it's incumbent upon us to pray, to go to the teachings of the church, to go to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he will ask us, what did you do to build the kingdom? We have to live in the world. We have to live in the kingdom of man. We have to render unto Caesar. But we do not belong there. We belong to a greater kingdom. What are we doing to get there?